All right. Oi, oi, oi. All persons having business before the United States Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, draw an eye and give your attention, for this court is now in session. God save the United States and its honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning. This is the matter of Missouri Veterans Commission versus Secretary Peak. Are counsel ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
The counsel representing the appellant, state her name for the record.
Andrea K. Spillers with the Attorney General's Office.
Welcome from Missouri.
Thank you.
And for the government?
Deborah Bernal, representing the Secretary, with the Eric Ron, Senior Attorney of VA's Healthcare Group, Carolyn Washington, Deputy Assistant General Counsel.
All right. Ms. Spillers, you have 30 minutes to present your argument. Do you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, sir. I'd like to reserve 10 minutes.
10 minutes? All right. So you have 20 minutes to start, and then we'll call on you for your 10 minutes in rebuttal.
Thank you.
You ready to proceed?
Yes, sir.
You may proceed.
May it please the court. The state of Missouri provided nursing home care to eligible veterans from September 26 of 2000 to August 3rd of 2001 in a facility the VA medical director officially concluded had complied with VA standards during the long journey to formal recognition. The secretary denied per diem payments for the care provided to those veterans, however, despite regulatory language requiring that payments be retroactive from the completion of the survey that provided the basis for the determination that the home was in compliance.
And what, which survey do you contend is the one in issue here, the September or the March?
The September 15th survey was the initial survey that resulted in the VA finding that the home was in compliance. So it's the September 15th survey.
Was there a March survey?
There was also a follow-up survey in March of 2001, which again the VA medical director also found that the home continued to be in compliance with VA standard. But the September 15th is the first one, and that's the date the per diem payment should have begun under the regulations.
There was no specific finding then that there was non-compliance?
Correct. The ultimate conclusion that the VA medical director made was that the home was in compliance. This is despite the fact that the survey had noted, obviously, two deficiencies. One, that the vision panels on the fire safety doors were not installed. And two, that there was a threshold that wasn't within the parameters of 1/8 inch on the doors. But the letter that the VA medical director sent to Missouri specifically stated that those deficiencies were found, but then concluded that the home was in compliance. So the reasonable interpretation was that the VA medical director had the discretion, which under the regulations he clearly does, to make conclusions about the survey on September 15th. And he concluded that that survey resulted in a finding of compliance.
What if he was wrong?
If he was wrong, the regulations provided him the authority to make that decision.
Actually, he doesn't know he's wrong. So he wouldn't make a decision. Somebody above him would have to make a decision.
If he was wrong, the regulations allow him the authority to make that decision and be wrong, and therefore per diem payments apply from that date. Because the regulations are essentially signify certain events in what is a fairly lengthy process to formal recognition. And if you think of those events as intersections in a road, and the regulations actually vest in the VA medical director decision-making authority at several of those intersections. For example, it's under the regulations, it's the VA medical director's requirement or task to make a tentative determination. And that tentative determination is to conclude whether or not the survey means the home is in compliance. The VA medical director is also...
Is the undersecretary a rubber stamp? Does he have to accept the certification and grant recognition?
I think that if the VA medical director, I don't think that he has to grant recognition, but if he does, then under the regulations, retroactivity is tied to that survey.
Okay,
and
so
that
the undersecretary could have written a letter saying, I do not recognize you.
Absolutely.
And he did not.
And he chose not to.
So your position is that under the regulations themselves, we don't even need to get to an equitable estoppel at this point in your argument. Under the regulations themselves, it was certified. The undersecretary could have said, I'm not going to grant it, but he did, and he did it based on the initial survey, and payments are retroactive to that because it was the one that formed the basis for his opinion.
Correct. Once the secretary made that decision under the regulations, he bound himself to the VA medical director's decision about the results of that survey.
What about the secretary's argument that the survey was not complete until the 31 or whatever date it was, July letter that said, by the way, the doors were in on 3 August. Very interesting little note in there. That it wasn't complete until he got that information.
Because that's not what the VA medical director said. If it was not complete, that certainly was not the finding that the VA medical director made.
But certainly that part of the regulation relies specifically on the survey that formed the basis.
Correct. The statutes or the regulation specifically states that the tentative determination is from the VA medical director regarding whether, based on a survey, the facility and facility management meet or do not meet the standards of subpart D. And that's a task the VA medical director is obligated to, a decision that he is obligated to make.
But what about 5140, bow-legged 4, A4, if I have it right? Initial payments will not be made until the Secretary for Health recognizes. However, payments will be made retroactively for the care that was provided on and after the date of completion of the VA survey of the facility that provided the basis for determining that the facility met the standards of this part.
Well, and I think what's important is August 3rd was not a survey. The only surveys occurred on September 15th and in March of 2001.
So your position
has to be on
one of the two.
Absolutely. And September 15th was the survey that resulted in the VA medical director finding compliance. That is the date of retroactivity under the specific regulations. And what's important is these regulations vest no discretion in determining retroactivity in the secretary. Obviously, there's no question the secretary has discretion whether or not to recognize the home. But once that secretary does recognize, retroactivity is a calculation. And it's based on events that have already preceded, that have already occurred.
So, counsel, what role does the March 21st inspection report play in this process?
That is what appears to be a standard process. The six-month follow-up survey is not unique. It's not because of any particular deficiencies. In fact, the Cameron home also received a six-month survey. And under the express terms of the letter, it was in order to see if the home continues to meet the standards and to actually see, and this is key, how the home operates with patients inside. So if the VA believed that the home was not in compliance, that certainly was not communicated, and in fact the opposite was communicated, because they were allowed to admit patients, and then the follow-up survey would see if those patients were receiving the care that were compliant with VA standards. So that's
so it was not unusual to have patients admitted to this home, even though there may have been some question about compliance with Part D of the regulation.
Not only was it not unusual, it was part of the process. If the VA medical director finds in total that the home is in compliance, that's the green light at the intersection to admit residents.
Oh, so in other words, when the VA medical director did his tentative determination,
yes,
if the VA medical director had said not compliant,
if the VA,
would the state still have admitted the veterans?
No, Your Honor. In fact, that's the fork in the road. That's the intersection where you either are in compliant, you have the green light to admit residents, or you're not compliant and you can't admit residents. The tentative determination gave the Missouri Veterans Home the green light to admit,
well,
and they did.
When you admitted them, did you then file the applications for per diem as required by the regulation?
In the process, the applications were filed. I can't tell you exactly what part of the process, but they're not paid until recognition. And so the applications for per diem.
But the regulations say you have to at least file the applications 10 days after admission? Of the veteran?
The home filed a per diem request for per diem payments, correct. And I don't think that there's any dispute that the home did not comply with some regulatory technicality in the sense of not filing requests for per diem. Clearly, there were requests for per diem. However, and this is because it is a lengthy process to recognition, and you can only get per diem once you are recognized. It is more of a back payment. We spent nearly $900,000 caring for residents in a veterans home based on the assurances and the official conclusions made by the VA medical director that the home was in compliance. Throughout the entire process, each of these intersections where the VA could have and by regulation was obligated to make a different conclusion if we were not in compliance, they did not. So it was an up or down vote on the tentative determination.
Counsel, how did the state make a decision to begin admitting patients? On what basis was that decision made?
There is an exit interview after the survey, and those findings are gone over with the facility management. And at that point, and I believe this is in the transcript of the hearing, they were told that the fire doors were not a substantial discrepancy and it was safe to admit residents, and so they did, and they actually notified the VA. And when the VA medical director sent his letter, he specifically acknowledged in his letter that they were admitting residents.
Well, that's in the record on page 96, and it's a sentence that basically says, however, the facility began admissions on Tuesday, September 26, 2000.
Correct.
Are you stating, or is it your position that, in fact, the VA authorized the Missouri Veterans Center to admit patients on September of 2000?
If authorized in the sense of part of the process, yes.
No, did they say you may admit patients?
I don't think it's in the record that the VA specifically said admit patients. I think that it's in the record that there were conversations about what the discrepancies meant, and if it meant the home was not in compliance, that they were not told that. In fact, they were told that the home was in compliance, which in the process means they can admit residents. So I think it was an assumption based on the process for recognition that once they were compliant, they were allowed to admit residents.
Can you direct me to a specific area in the record that says the Missouri Veterans Commission or the director of the Warrensburg nursing home was told by VA that it was in compliance?
I can direct you to page 96, which is the October 19th medical director's letter, which states that I am making a tentative determination based on the information available at this time that the Warrensburg facility is in compliance with VA standards.
That's the VA medical director's letter to the undersecretary.
Right.
Correct, but the Warrensburg home is also given a copy.
Is there any communication to Warrensburg or to the state that there is compliance?
I think the copy that goes to the home is a communication. That letter is also copied to the home. It's a significant event. It's an intersection in this journey to recognition that the home is awaiting, that the VA either gives the green light or gives the red light. So yes, that's a communication to the Missouri Veterans Home.
Did VA place any vets into this particular home? Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Do you know, did VA pay any grants related to this home to the
state? They did. They paid construction grants.
And do you know when they started?
The construction grants were paid after, the transcript indicates that they started paying them informally because there was not an MOU in place. For some reason, the construction grant paperwork did not get finalized, and so the home actually called the VA and said, we've spent all of our percentage of these construction costs, And we're starting now to have to shut down the process. And so the VA started paying the construction bills because of that, even before there were formal MOUs in place, memorandum of understanding.
Council. I have just one little preliminary question. I didn't ask earlier because I wanted you to get started in the argument, but mm-hmm. just for edification, do you see your per diem payment to the state of Missouri as being a veteran's benefit?
I believe that it's a benefit or entitlement under the statute or under the regulation. The regulation provides that the VA will pay per diem to a state for providing nursing home care to eligible veterans in a facility if the undersecretary recognizes that home. That's section 5110. And under this court's jurisdiction in section 7252, this court has exclusive jurisdiction to review decisions of the VA regarding decisions of the secretary that are arbitrary or capricious or not in compliance with regulation. So there is a benefit or entitlement certainly provided for in the regulation for providing nursing home care to these residents. So yes, the short answer is yes, Your Honor.
If you go beyond your argument that you're entitled specifically under the regulations, et cetera, you also made an equitable estoppel argument.
Correct.
That would only be applicable if we don't find that you're entitled under the regulations.
Correct. That's an alternative argument, Your Honor.
You want to talk about that one for a minute?
Sure. If this court were to find that there were no remedy at law in this case, equitable estoppel is obviously a unique remedy. There's no question that it is rarely, if ever, applied to the government. However, under these very unique facts, it is applicable. The elements of equitable estoppel have been met, specifically that the home was notified in official communications that they were in compliance with VA standard. And the concerns that are typically raised in applying equitable estoppel to the government don't apply in this case for that reason, because these are official agency pronouncements that are dictated by regulation. So it's reasonable for a state agency to rely on those official pronouncements since they are expecting them. That is part of the process. It is not like the standard cases involving equitable estoppel where a low-level federal employee tells someone that is something that is clearly erroneous, but they didn't have authority to do that. Not only did the VA medical director have authority to make those pronouncements, he was required to under the regulations.
What about the secretary's view of OPM?
I would certainly agree that it's rarely applied. However, it is applicable in this case. I don't know specifically which view you're speaking of.
It seems to me that your equitable estoppel argument is that the secretary is stopped from saying that the survey upon which the determination was made was not the September survey. And if we stopped the secretary from saying that, would that be barred by OPM?
No, Your Honor.
In fact, are you familiar with Cervello 3, Vet App 196?
Cervello.
Case from this court?
I found two equitable cases. I don't recall that case, Your Honor.
It precluded the secretary from asserting that an informal claim was not a cognizable claim for effective date purposes. So this court has applied equitable estoppel, as have other courts. As long as the funding is available, OPM addressed an issue as to where funds were simply not available. And is that the case here, or not been appropriated?
No,
or not authorized?
No, I think the funds clearly are available and authorized. And this court has never, I think I cited two cases in my brief, has never declared that estoppel was not a remedy available and that it was indeed an available remedy. So to that extent, yes, I would disagree with the government's interpretation of OPM. Finally, Your Honor, what is clear, and I'll just sum up in these last few minutes, what is clear from the regulations is that not only was the tentative determination about the September 15th survey binding on the federal government, that was the date, and they have no discretion to decide otherwise, that retroactive per diem payments commenced. If this court were to find that the regulations did not dictate that, which clearly I believe they do, equitable estoppel is the remedy that should be applied in this case. $900,000 of nursing home care provided to eligible veterans based on official pronouncements of a federal agency that the home was compliant with VA standards, and that money obviously would not contravene any kind of regulation, would dictate that equitable estoppel should be applied. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Bernal?
May it please the court. The Secretary's position is that the survey that provided the basis for determining that the Warrensburg State Home met VA standards was completed on August 3, 2001.
Where is that survey in the record?
The survey is not in the record. If you look at page 406 of the record, it's testimony from the construction manager for the Warrensburg State Home, and it shows...
Well, what does the Undersecretary rely on in pursuant to the regulation that would be the survey upon which the basis of his recognition is made?
The Undersecretary, the way the regulation is written, the Undersecretary would rely on a tentative determination made by the VA Medical Center Director based regarding whether a home was or was not in compliance based on a survey.
So he has two surveys that say tentative determination compliance.
Well, it's based on the date the survey was completed that showed compliance. Now,
so what's the completion date?
The Secretary's position is that the completion date is August 3rd, because that is the date the VA surveyors visited the Warrensburg facility and determined compliance with the doors.
Well, did the VA have information that the doors were at least ordered in March?
The VA had assurances from appellant that the doors would be completed by March 12th.
That was from the September survey.
That is from the September survey.
Well, that's March, when they looked in March, the doors weren't in.
They were not.
But was there any information provided that indicated the status of the doors?
A letter of intent was written at the time of the March survey indicating that the doors would be, the vision panels would be added to the doors, or different doors would be obtained to correct the problem.
And subsequent to that, there was a tentative determination made by the medical director?
This record does not contain information showing that. Well, there's an April, I'm sorry, let me correct myself. Subsequent to that survey, there was another tentative determination made by the medical director on April 30th, 2001. That's at page 167.
And that indicates compliance?
It does indicate compliance. However, the doors, apparently, based on the testimony from the construction manager, VA surveyors did visit the facility on August 3rd and confirm that the doors were...
Well, is there a provision that says that the secretary will make a retroactive determination based on when a particular deficiency is corrected?
The statute, which is 38 U.S.C. 1741, subsection D, says that payment of per diem for care furnished in a state home shall commence on the date of completion of the inspection for recognition of the facility if the secretary determines that as a result of that inspection, the state home meets the standards described in such section. Now, VA's promulgated regulation gives the director of the VA Medical Center the authority to make a tentative determination regarding compliance, but the ultimate determination regarding whether or not VA standards is met is vested with the secretary, who has delegated that authority to the Undersecretary for Health. The only decision, the only document in this record from the Undersecretary for Health was issued on August 16th, and found that the home met VA standards based on August 3rd, 2001.
In citing the statute, what about 1742A? which says that no payment or grant may be made to any home under the subchapter unless the home is determined by the secretary to meet the standards the secretary shall prescribe, which standards with respect to a nursing home shall be no less stringent than those prescribed pursuant to 1720B of this title. And yet, weren't grant payments made?
Grant payments were made.
Then why is the secretary here?
Just because the grant for construction is, the regulations pertaining to the grant of construction are under a different section of 38 CFR. Those regulations still have the same requirement regarding having doors compliant with the National Fire Protection Agency Life Safety Code. It's the 2000 edition for some reason, as opposed to the 1997 edition, which is located in the per diem section. However, it appears that legally speaking, the grant should not have been made, because we know based on the September survey and the March survey that the doors were in fact not compliant. The grant was made in January prior to the March survey. Missouri is not asserting that the doors were compliant before the grant was made.
So just you're saying the secretary made a mistake in January?
Perhaps the grant, apparently, yes. But it doesn't obviate the need to follow the regulations with regard to per diem.
Well, did the medical director also make a mistake by saying there was compliance in both surveys?
The medical director, in the first letter, in his first letter, he's inconsistent to some degree. He notes that there are deficiencies, and then he finds the home in compliance. In the April 30th letter, he just finds the home in compliance. The secretary's position is that those letters, yes, he did make a mistake. Because
could that be based on the fact that if he's meeting with the Mr. Huffenbrogger in March, and he shows him, well, here's the order for the doors they'll be in July or August, would that be sufficient for him to say that there is compliance?
The letter of intent is a basis, perhaps, for him to determining compliance, but most importantly is the fact that he does not have authority to determine compliance. He only has, as the medical director, the authority to make a tentative determination regarding compliance. The statute is clear that the only person who can make a determination regarding whether VA standards were complied with is the secretary.
And what communication was made to the undersecretary by Mr. Is it Horan or
Doran?
Doran. To the undersecretary from March till August that the doors weren't in.
This record does not contain any information showing any correspondence besides the April 30th, 2001 letter from Mr. Doran to the undersecretary. Until August 3rd, apparently VA surveyors visited the facility in person that day based on the testimony from the general contractor and confirmed that the doors had been repaired. That information must have been communicated.
They were installed that day?
Well, it appears from the record that an installation was initiated or at least substantially complete on June 11th, 2001, but then the construction manager does not sign off on the receipt until August 3rd, 2001. And VA, the memorandum where VA is notified is dated July 31st, 2001. So.
What about the appellant's view that there's this temporary certification by the person authorized to certify the safety standards, et cetera, forwarded to the undersecretary in September of 00, and the secretary doesn't read that and say, despite this temporary certification, I'm rejecting that and not certifying you. And then you get the follow-on in the spring, and the secretary, undersecretary, receives that, and instead of giving notice, which according to the regulation, there's no time period provided, but 5130 clearly says notify him of the action taken. So there was no notification of the action taken on the first survey, in your view, because the notification, or is your view that the September survey remained open for the spring survey remained open for this person who walked in there on 3 August and said the doors were in. And then that's the day it was completed without any certification, just some comment in a hearing that that's the date it was completed.
The Secretary's position is that the September survey was completed on September 15th.
Okay.
Non-compliance was found.
Did the Undersecretary ever respond to that and notify, give notification as to his action on that?
The Undersecretary did not respond until August 16th, 2001.
What was he? Which survey, again, was he responding to?
He was responding to the March survey was a comprehensive survey. There was one outstanding non-compliant item. So in that case, since when they complete a survey, they evaluate many aspects of the facility, the physicians, the staff, the
dietary. Well, let's say they completed it in March and the doors were done.
Yes.
All right. What date would benefits have flowed? The date of the March survey?
Yes.
So from September to March, what was the purpose of giving a tentative certification and not notifying them that, hey, you really aren't certified because there's a safety hazard out there? Why was none of that done?
Well,
and in January, grants are provided.
The director of the VA Medical Center does not have the authority to make any determination regarding compliance. He only made a tentative determination and clearly stated in his letter that the undersecretary would make the final determination regarding compliance.
And why didn't the undersecretary, according to the regulation, notify him? Specifically says notify him of the action taken.
The only action taken by the undersecretary was taken in August 2001, and at that point they were notified. With regard to Mr. Doran's letter in October, he did note the deficiencies in that letter regarding the fire doors. And the state of Missouri had already indicated that they were aware that they were deficient. On September 25th, they submitted a letter acknowledging that they had been told that they were deficient, indicating that they would make the repairs by March 12th. And yet, they started admitting patients the following day. And Mr. Doran did not issue his letter until October 19th. It's not possible for the state of Missouri to have relied on his assertions in an October 19th letter that the home was in compliance and for their actions admitting patients when his letter was issued three and a half weeks after
well,
they were
okay.
already told.
I just get this picture of VA really caring about veterans, and I think they do. I'm not being facetious. And you have a building that's built with VA funds. It's certified complete. Apparently informally, because funds are being paid, and then in January formally, you get a certification, temporary certification in the field. I mean, if veterans were in a place that was unsafe, I'm sure VA would have said something. Certainly wouldn't have certified the building. I mean, you have a whole situation here where you can either go down the regulation and say that this was the survey upon which it was based, or you can stretch it out and say the survey isn't complete until August. And then you move into equitable estoppel. Why shouldn't the court grant equitable estoppel here? I mean, veterans are being cared for. VA has been funded. Why do you think this is OPM?
Because the way the regulation is written, mm-hmm. the payment cannot be made until the secretary determines that the facility complies with VA regulations.
Right, but
VA
we
standards.
Have stopped the secretary from saying that the survey upon which, just write to your regulations, the VA survey of the facility that provided the basis for determining that the facility met the standards of this part was the survey that was conducted in September.
Because the survey that was conducted in September showed non-compliance with VA standards. The doors were not compliant.
But it formed the basis for determining that it met. I mean, this doesn't say that the survey has to say you meet them. It says it forms the basis for determining it.
It says the date of completion of the VA survey that provided the basis for determining the facility met the standards.
Right.
The Secretary's position is that the September 15th survey, which was completed on that date, did not form the basis for determining that the facility met VA standards.
No, I understand that, but why shouldn't we stop you from saying that? I mean, OPM doesn't, the OPM isn't the operative case here, is it?
The Secretary's position is that it is, and that if this court were to stop the government, it would be essentially awarding federal funds in violation of a federal statute, which would be
And when the secretary granted the grant in January, that was not a violation of the federal statute?
It appears that it was, because...
Or perhaps the secretary saw that there was compliance.
The way these regulations are written at Section 38 CFR 51.60, there is no basis for substantial compliance. You either comply or you don't. Missouri is not disputing that the fire doors were not in compliance with 51.200A. Similar regulations regarding the fire code are present in the section of the Code of Federal Regulations that pertains to the grant. The grant was made regardless.
In fact, weren't funds for veterans provided to another facility in Missouri that had the same doors?
Well, we don't have any records really pertaining to the Cameron facility. However, if you look at page 221 of the record, that's the letter from Hugh Doran regarding recognition of the Cameron facility. And he doesn't note the life safety code to be a violation of the several violations that he does find with the Cameron facility. The violation of the life safety code, the same one that was not complied with in the Warrensburg facility, is not one of the ones noted. And interestingly, he also says that the survey of the Cameron facility took place on February 10th, 2000, and yet on March 31st, documentation was received showing that the corrections had been made, and per diem has been paid back to March 31st, 2000. So, in fact, the actions of VA with regard to the Warrensburg and the Cameron facilities, based on this record, appear to be pretty consistent. Uh-huh. VA paid back to the date that its standards were met.
Counsel, could you point me in the record to the document that you're relying on to support your position that when the, I guess, either the September or the March survey were complete, that is when the doors were met code?
The September survey is located at page 32 to 77, and it indicates that it was conducted on one day, September 15th, 2000. The March survey at page 110 to 65 was conducted over a three-day period. And as far as the August 3rd visit by VA surveyors, we're referring to page 406, which is hearing testimony from Mr. Norton showing that he's testifying that the doors were actually completed on June 11th, but that a survey team didn't come until the 3rd of August.
So the document on record page 169, which says that the installation was completed by a contractor on August 3rd, is not a document that you're relying on to indicate that the either September or March surveys were completed. I mean, as I understand it, your position is that the surveys are not completed until the deficiencies are repaired. Is that correct?
That's not correct.
Okay, then enlighten me.
Okay. Our position is that the September survey was a complete comprehensive survey of the facility completed on September 15th.
Okay.
The March survey was, again, a second complete follow-up survey of the facility.
So now
over 3 days.
I'm really confused. What survey does the secretary rely on then?
The secretary, regardless of whether the August 3rd survey.
What survey does the secretary rely upon to retroactively pay per diem?
August 3rd, 2001.
Where is that survey in the record?
We do not have that survey in this record. All we have is testimony showing that VA surveyors physically visited the facility that day.
And didn't the surveyors say, gee, if I knew this was per diem was going to be an issue, we probably would have gone up there in July?
Well, if you look at page 170 of the record, which is the documentation from the Warrensburg home showing when the doors were complete, at the top of the page it says that the contract completion date is June 11th, but then at the bottom where the signatures from the construction manager and the construction administrator are, it shows It's dated July 31st, 01 and August 3rd, 01. So the doors, it's not really clear when the doors were completed. It looks like the installation started on June 11th, but perhaps was not satisfactory, at least to the home itself, until August 3rd, which is the day that VA surveyors evaluated the facility. Apparently, they were notified on the 31st. VA was notified, apparently, on the 31st that the doors had been repaired. And it doesn't say in this document on page 169 that a survey team was requested to reevaluate the facility. However, it appears from the testimony that surveyors did, in fact, revisit the facility and inspect the doors. And
when the director signs off, gets the survey, the local director gets the survey and reviews that, does he have a judgment call as to whether or not there is VA standards have been met, or is he a rubber stamp to the survey people?
The director of the VA Medical Center?
Mm-hmm.
He makes a tentative determination regarding whether the...
Is that a judgment call?
From the regulation, it appears that it is a judgment call based on a tentative judgment call.
So in his view, I mean, is there anything in the regulation that precludes substantial compliance?
The secretary's position is that 38 CFR 51.60 precludes substantial compliance, which, and that says that the provisions of this subpart are the standards that a state home and facility management must meet for a state to receive per diem for nursing home care. That's at the beginning of subpart D, where it lists the standards, and the fire safety code violation is listed at 51.200A.
But that doesn't explicitly preclude substantial compliance.
If the court determines that that's the case, then it would not preclude it.
Does the statute?
The secretary's position is similar with regard to the statute, that no payment may be made until a home is determined by the secretary to meet such standards as the secretary shall prescribe, and that one of the standards is that the fire doors have glass vision panels.
I guess there's a lot of mistakes in this case. I mean, they did blueprints on this facility, is that correct?
They did, yes.
And the blueprint said doors in the as to what would be placed in the facility. And those blueprints show solid doors. But yet that was approved as a plan.
The blueprints are received as part of the grant process for the construction grant.
Mm-hmm.
The process for recognition of the survey for per diem payments is a sort of a separate parallel process. And so determinations regarding whether the building met construction requirements are related to the recognition process regarding per diem. The first time that VA surveyors were in the facility on September 15th, 2000, this is the first time a VA survey team had entered the facility. There were no patients there at that time. They noted initially two violations at that time, one of which was that the vision panels were not in the cross corridor fire doors. So at the first opportunity that VA could have notified the state of Missouri, they were notified in September. They acknowledged that they had been notified. In fact, they said that they would repair the doors.
So VA had no role in approving what was going to be built?
No, VA did have a role in approving what was going to be built based on the construction documents. That's part of the process related.
But they didn't see that until after it was built?
They saw it on the blueprints and they approved the blueprints, and then they sent the, at the time of the September 15th survey, apparently.
Well, September 15th, it was already completed, is that correct?
The facility?
Right.
Yes. Well, so it substantially completed.
I'm talking about back in 1998 or 99 when it was agreed that Missouri was going to build this facility.
At that time, the VA construction grant process saw the blueprints. It depicted that there were solid doors and approved them at 95% and 100%. But the construction process, although separate, conducts its own separate survey. And on September 15th, there were two survey teams that were at the facility, the recognition survey team and the construction grant team. The construction survey, the construction survey, to my understanding, is a much less much less detailed survey, just checking the general structure of the facility. And there were no deficiencies noted on that survey. I think that's at page 87, 88, regarding the construction survey. They did not.
They also don't look at the care that would be provided either.
No, they don't.
The care that would be provided.
So, counsel, looking at the record on page 178, and looking at the regulation 51.40 paren 4, I guess it's A4, that says the payments will be made retroactively based on, I'm paraphrasing a bit, on the completion of the VA survey of the facility that provided the basis for determining that the facility met the standards of this part. If I look at the record from the undersecretary, the letter from the undersecretary, Mr. Garthwaite indicates that, in fact, as you pointed out, the retroactive payments standards were met on, for retroactive payments, standards were met on August 3rd. So, it appears to me that the secretary hasn't followed this regulation because there's no survey to attach to this decision. Or is there?
We do not have a record of the August 3rd survey, if there was one.
Why not? So what did he base his decision on?
He based his decision on what we have here does not show any documentation regarding what he based his decision on.
The regulation says a survey.
If the August 3rd...
There is either a survey or there is not a survey.
On August 3rd, VA surveyors visited the facility.
No, I'm talking about what the regulation indicates here. It says that this has to be based on a survey.
That's why the secretary argued in his brief that the August 3rd survey was part and parcel of the March survey. However, regardless of whether it is seen as part of the March survey, a final step, completing it, not a comprehensive survey, just a few surveyors to avoid the expense of sending out a whole team to evaluate the level of care at the facility since that was found compliant. Regardless of whether it is seen as part of the March survey or a separate survey in and of itself, the standards were not met until August 3rd when VA surveyors, based on the testimony from Mr. Norton, VA surveyors visited the facility. It is not in dispute that the VA standards were not complied with and confirmed to have been complied with until August 3rd.
At 100%. So standards met does not mean substantial compliance.
The secretary's position is that it doesn't mean substantial compliance.
Could the secretary, would substantial compliance be permissible under the statute and the regulation? Before you answer, as I understand it, if you were had already certified this home, accepted it, and during the period thereafter something went wrong, awry, where it would not meet standards, you could continue to make payments, could you not?
I believe if that happened, the VA medical director would make a provisional determination and steps would be taken to correct it. But yes, I think payments could continue.
Right. So the statute doesn't absolutely preclude substantial compliance determinations. The regulation doesn't explicitly exclude substantial compliance.
For continuing to recognize a home, but for
it explicitly allows substantial compliance for continuing. It doesn't say with regard to the other.
If there are no further questions, the secretary moves the court to affirm the board decision denying per diem. Thank you.
Your Honors, the reason there is no record of an August 3rd survey is because there was no August 3rd survey. August 3rd was not even the date the doors were completed. The doors were completed on June 11, 2001. August 3rd was the date that the state certified that the contractor had actually installed the doors, and that's at the record of 169 through 171.
There was no on-site survey on August 3rd.
I did want to ask you the question. How do you certify on the 31st of July that the doors are completed on the 3rd of August?
I don't know the answer to that, and I found that perplexing as well.
What about the Secretary's point that in this other home in Missouri, the underlying survey was a particular date? I don't have it right in front of me, but it's apparently document 221. But payments were only made to the completion date of March 31.
That, well, there was no survey on March 31 either. And quite frankly, that was not consistent with the regulations either, because the regulations specifically say completion of a survey. And August 3rd was not a survey. And the record, the transcript site that the Secretary cites on page 406, is not testimony that there was a survey on August 3rd. The testimony from the witness was, we actually completed the doors in Warrensburg on June 11. The chairman says, right, but the survey team didn't come in. And the witness says, correct. And then the chairman says, until the 3rd. The witness never confirmed that there was anyone on site on August 3rd, because there was not. That was the date the state certified the job was complete. There was, it's interesting that the Secretary has indicated that September 15th date was a survey completed, but yet that finding was that the home was not in compliance. However, the regulations specifically vest in the medical director the discretion to make a judgment
call.
But
didn't the state, the state did acknowledge that it was not in compliance in September of 2000.
The state acknowledged the doors were not in compliance. However, compliance is not a checklist under the regulations. Compliance,
but in order to get the payment, you have to satisfy the standards that are in Part D of the regulation. Is that correct?
Correct. But whether or not the standards are satisfied is a discretionary decision for the medical director. It's not a checklist. The survey itself doesn't say, we conclude that the home is not in compliance or in compliance. The survey is a checklist. It's the medical director's decision to make a conclusion about the survey, to make a decision about the results of the survey, whether or not they mean compliance.
So if the checklist, if the survey says physical environment and you get a F because of the doors, the medical director could still overlook that?
Under the regulations, yes. But what's interesting is the survey in this case didn't even check the non-compliant or not met standard. In fact, the actual survey that talked about the physical environment referred the reader to the life safety checklist, which is a yes or no. So there's no broad global decisions about whether or not the home meets the standards in subpart D based on the survey. That's the tentative determination by the VA medical director. He had two choices. He could say, yes, the home is in compliance, or no, the home is not in compliance. He chose yes. This is different from once the home is recognized in the certification process, which is an ongoing process, where he does have the discretion to say provisional. There was no in-between gray area in this case. It was an up or down vote, and he chose to vote yes. There's also, it's important to note that in the April 30th tentative letter from the VA medical director, which was after the follow-up survey, he made absolutely no mention of the doors. It is a complete, the home is in compliance, no mention of any deficiencies.
What's
in
that
the
record
door.
Set again?
That is April.
The page on the record.
Right. That is page 167 of the record.
Well, why isn't that the basis for the undersecretary to make the recognition?
Because it was simply an ongoing. It was the home continues to be in compliance. Oh, you're asking whether or not the secretary could have. I don't know. I don't know why that wasn't a basis for the secretary to conclude.
Well, wouldn't it seem reasonable at that point, since I guess you said there's no mention of the doors. There's mention of the doors in the September survey, mm-hmm. but none in the March survey.
Correct. There's no mention of the doors, but I think the reason is because they already found that the home was in compliance. The tentative determination had already been made to conclude that those doors meant that the home was still in compliance.
So there was no need for a March survey?
As I understand it, the March survey is part of the process. Once patients are admitted into the home, they do a follow-up survey.
Because the initial...
Not for physical environment, but for the other... Make sure the patients are...
Correct, that everything is still, that patients are being afforded care in compliance with the standards.
So, counsel, is it your position that under the 5140, well, let me ask you, when would you say the facility met the standards under 51.40?
September 15th.
Based upon the survey conducted?
On that date.
Okay.
Which the secretary has acknowledged was completed. So it is a completion of a survey that ultimately resulted in the determination the home met standards. The other issue that I think the secretary is inconsistent with the regulations is that the secretary contends that the payments commence upon the home being recognized. That's true. Payments can't start. But deciding when to calculate retroactivity is a completely different process. So those two issues are comparing apples and oranges. Finally, Your Honor, based on the facts in this case, the fact that the Missouri Veterans Home provided nearly $1 million in care to veterans in this case, based on official agency statements that the home was in compliance, the Missouri Veterans Commission would request that this court compel the secretary to pay per diem.
Do you know if any in-kind care or any support or anything was provided by VA to the hospital during this time period?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, let me, just for my edification, a veteran's in the Warrenburg facility. It's the state that is actually, okay, the state is providing care to that veteran and gets X amount of money from VA as
I believe the minimum or the maximum is $51 per day per veteran.
Now, if the veteran doesn't have that from VA, does the state get any money from the veteran?
There.
Or charge the veteran anything?
It's a sliding scale based on income. Okay. So some veterans may be able to afford to pay, others may not.
Counsel, there are a lot of aspects of this case that troubles me, and if we were in a perfect world, I suppose the statutes and regulations would provide us all we need to know, and of course we're not, and what I often find instructive in situations like this is what the documents don't tell us as compared to, rather than what the documents do tell us. I look at the record, but I don't see any affidavits indicating that Mr. Doran represented to Missouri that, in fact, the basis of his determination would provide, or let me rephrase that his determination meant that you could admit patients and receive retroactive payment. Is there anything in the record that supports the position that, in fact, Mr. Doran made those representations to Missouri?
Your Honor, I would rely on the October 19th letter because I believe that's...
Page in the record?
Which is the record page 96,
which is right.
Mr. Doran's tentative determination, which by operation of law and protocol meant that this process of retroactivity would begin as of the September 15th. It's by operation of law. So although there is no definitive pronouncement or affidavit that says you may now begin to admit residents in the record, although quite frankly, based on the informal exit interview after the survey, I believe those things probably were discussed. But this letter by operation of law means that. It means that as part of this process because everyone understands that the recognition process is going to take a very long time. And you've spent millions of dollars to build a facility that is now ready to take care of veterans. And in order to say that, yes, you have complied with all of the standards, but yet we're not going to let you admit residents, or we're not going to specifically say you can't admit residents, doesn't make any sense under the regulations, because that's not how it worked.
Right. But paragraph 3 of that letter indicates clearly and specifically that the ultimate decision is the undersecretary's decision.
The ultimate decision for recognition, no question, is based on the secretary's decision. Mm-hmm. But once that home is recognized, these are intersections on the way to recognition, and they mean something. And in this case, this decision meant that the green light was on to admit residents, and this was the date that retroactive payments would be paid based on the regulations.
And of course, I would presume that the state of Missouri has other similar nursing homes? Or were
yes.
these the first two that being?
No, they have several nursing homes.
So you've been down this road before?
Not this particular
yeah,
road.
But I mean similar
yes.
roads before.
Yes.
Okay. You went to the fork of the road and...
Correct. Yes. This was not a process that they were unfamiliar with. If
right.
there are no further
Thank
questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The case is submitted. We will greet the bar and adjourn.
All rise. Honorable Court is adjourned to further order.